Bible, friends, is the Word of God. For those of you who wouldn't know where to go in order to find the Word of God, it is to be found in the Bible, and the Bible alone. It's called the Holy Bible. That's because it comes from a holy God. And this holy God has given us His Holy Bible, His Word, that is. The means by which God addresses men and women today, people such as yourself and myself, in order that we might come to a knowledge of Him, of His loving kindness. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Perish, that is, in their sin, but come to know eternal life and love. That's the reason for which the Bible was given to us, you know, to instruct us in the ways of God, and you know what it is that He would require of people like you and I. So you would like a copy of God's Word, maybe New Testament in its entirety, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. It's offered to you. Yours simply and only to take. But you know, the question is sometimes asked of me, you know, who made God, you know? And, well, if God is invisible, how can we know Him? How can we know what He's like? And of course, well, the Bible, you see, is that the Bible answers all these questions. You know, it gives us good, clear, concise answers to these questions. In the Old Testament, for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, if you got a Bible, maybe you'd like to turn there, you know, to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, where the Bible, God's Word, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." You see, friends, God requires that you love Him, that you come to a knowledge of Him, and that you come to love Him with all your soul, strength, and might. But of course, in order to do that, first of all, you've got to find Him, and you've got to come to know what He's like. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, the Bible says, not just singular. God is one, yes, there's only one God. Can't be two, can only be one. The Lord our God is one, singular, but He exists, the Bible tells us, in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, many, many people in groups, of course, religious groups, that deny, you know, the truth of God's existence. You know, like the Watchtower Society, JWs, Mormons, most of your world religions, in fact, you know. But it's the Bible alone, you see, that gives you a clear and concise picture of what God is and what He's like. The Lord our God is one. But not just singular. It means, you know, that He's unique. He's incomparable. There's none like Him in holiness, in power, in might, in righteousness, but in compassion, mercy, kindness as well. So you guys believe God's Word? Huh? You believe evolution? Why? Can you justify it? Give me one ounce of justification for it. Come on. Have a go. You believe it? Come on. You believe it? Well, come on, justify it. Justify what you believe. Huh? Well, your heart? Your heart tells you, right? Oh, your heart's deceitful, God says, and desperately wicked. That's the last thing that you need to trust. is your heart. So what's your basis for believing evolution? Why do you believe it? Huh? Speak up. No, you can't, can you? Huh? No. There is no justification for it, friends, you know. You're not a piece of chemical fizz, you know, that climbed out of some primordial sludge. You're a man, you're a woman made in the image of God, you know. Made to love God, made to be loved and to love. Here's the thing, you know, you might go out of this world unsaved, you know. Not right with God and destined for the lake of fire, but you will not go out of the world unloved. Because there is one who loved you and who gave his son, sent his son into the world that through him that you might be saved from such a catastrophic end. That you might come to know this God, you see, has given you his word, that you might know his loving kindness, his compassion, his mercy and his forgiveness. It's the heart of the gospel, you see. There is forgiveness with God, you see, that you can be rectified, you know, that your broken condition can be mended, you know. You don't have to waste your life, you know, believing lies, you know, embracing lies like evolution, you know, and living in cloud cuckoo land, living in self-deception all your life, you know. Can come to a knowledge of the truth, but only through God's word, only through the testimony that God, the record that God has given to us concerning his son Jesus Christ, how he sent him into the world that, well, something like you might be saved. But you see, it's the Bible alone that gives you the true character of God, you know, what he's like, you know, invisible, yes, but knowable. Incomprehensible, but still knowable, because he's revealed himself, you see, in the Bible and in his son, Jesus Christ. But you see, it's the Bible alone that gives you true character of God. Well, you see, how can I know somebody? How can I come to know what somebody's like, you know, who is invisible? Well, like I say, he made himself known through Jesus Christ. So you turn to the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and you see the person of Jesus, Son of God, you see, and you see what God's like, you see. You see his purity, you see his power, wonder-working power, you know, you see his distaste for holiness, you know, and then he takes broken people, broken fallen sinners, you know, like you and I, and puts them back together again. You see the love of God manifest in the Son of God, you see? The Word of God became flesh, you see, and dwelt amongst us, so that, well, that you might come to a knowledge of God. This God, the Lord our God, who is one. See his wisdom, you know? A lot of cleverness about, you know, maybe you can argue, you know, about philosophical things, you know. People like to talk about this evolution business. That's why I put this sign up, you know. It's a bit provocative, I know. Because people swallow it, you know. They get it from their mummies, you know. Godless mummy and godless daddy. They feed them with it, you know, from the breast, you know. And then they go to primary school and they get some more. Then they grow up a little bitty, you know. And they go to secondary school and college and university. They listen to their dumb music, you know. And it's pumped into them continually. Evolution, evolution, evolution. Without a shred of intelligence. Basis, foundation for it, you know. And that's how they live, and most of them die and go to a lost eternity without God's love, you know, without any hope for this world or the world to come. That's what cleverness does for you. But you see, the Word of God is able to make you wise. Wise, friends. The wisdom of God. Not so much clever, but the wisdom of God, you know, that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So the wisdom of God, you see, Savior is Jesus. In the Bible you can read, you see, and learn about the nature of this God, you know. His attributes, you know. And you begin to see and understand that there's none like Him. He is holy to the uttermost, you know. He is the exact opposite to you. You're unholy, you see. You're a fallen sinner, you see. Because God's testimony, God's indictment against the whole human race is this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not even one. Oh, you might have some goodness from the world's perspective, you know, from your buddies, you know, perspective. They might think you're good, but God doesn't. Not from God's perspective, you see. He requires perfection, and you don't come anywhere near that. You see, the only way a person can be counted, credited as good in the sight of God is through faith in the Son of God, the revealed righteousness of God. Only through faith, you see, can you be declared right with God. So you see, wisdom, mercy, the kindness of God, all the attributes of God, His holiness, His power, you know, His immensity, His freedom. Oh, there's none like Him. But of course, in such apostate times in which we're living, in the nation, of course, and in the church too, in your land, you know, there's so little knowledge of these things, you know. Not even the ABCs of what God has revealed. Not even kindergarten stuff, you know. Oh, you laugh, you know, you mock and you sneer. You know, as I bring God's word to you, but you know, you don't know nothing, eh? You're laughing and you're jeering, you're mocking, you know, and you don't know nothing, you don't know nothing about it. You've not even read the book, you know. You've not even examined its pages, you've not studied it, you've not meditated upon it, you know. I mean, how logical, how sensible, how intelligent is that, I ask you? You know, that you should just offhandedly reject something, mock something that you don't even know anything about. But these are the apostate days in which we're living. You know, the unbelief, you know, the rejection, total rejection of even the very concept of God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's a holy, He's a unique, incomparable God, glorious in holiness, awesome in power, and who does wonders. He's the one who created everything in the beginning, and He's the one who controls, who sustains and upholds the universe in which you and I live. So you see the uniqueness of God. You see, it's revealed in the Bible, you know. People ask the question, well, you know, who made God? Where did God come from? Well, the Bible begins with this declarative statement, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God dwelt alone. God always was. He's the eternal, everlasting God. He never was not. And He always shall be. From eternity to eternity is God, you see? In the beginning, He dwelt alone, but no need of creating anything. No need of you, no need of me, no need of any contribution from you and I. He dwelt alone and dwelt in love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loving one another, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, no need of anything. But of course, the Bible does go on to say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, not out of any need. Not to satisfy Himself. He was and is the self-sufficient, self-satisfied God who needs nothing. He simply created it for His own glory. Everything that He's made, you know, the heavens and the earth, everything in them, including you, including I. God did it all, you see, simply and only for His glory. So in the beginning, you see, there was no universe design. And of course you can see that, you know. Bible says, you know, you look at the universe that God has created, and that the throne leaves you without any excuse, you know, for not knowing God, not knowing Him that is in love and grace. Because you reject, you see, you suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. But of course you reject and, you know, you're suppressing what's in your face. You know, what you can see in the universe. You know, that it's been designed, you know. It's not a thing, you know, of happenstance, you know, of chance. It's not a thing of evolution either. In the beginning, God created the universe, and He created it out of His own sovereign will and pleasure, because it pleased Him to do so. Like I say, no need to none whatsoever, but He did it just for His own pleasure. His to do and His not to do. He can do what He pleases, you know, He's God. Not like you. You can't do what you please. You're not the free person you claim to be. You say, I'm a free man, I'm a free woman, I can do what I want. No, you can't. You can't. You're not even free to walk away from your addictions. Huh? You're not even free, some of you, to walk away, you know, from your fagash, you know. For the life of you, you can't give it up. Your drugs, your alcohol, your immorality, all your social problems that you have in the city of Leicester today. If you're a free man, a free woman, if you can do what you please, why don't you just walk away from all these troubles, all the pain and sorrow and misery that it brings to you? But there's the truth, you're not sovereign, you're not free. You can't do what you please. But God can and God did in creating the universe. But you see, there's salvation. Salvation too, you see, rightness with God. Only out of the, again, the sovereign pleasure, the good pleasure of His will. And He gives it, you know, to, well, who He pleases to give it to. It's not yours to order. God's not yours to command. How you doing, sir? How you doing? What is it? Where's it come from?
Let me see. Come from down there, but...
Let me see the back. Show me the back. Show me the back. Okay, I'll have a look. Thank you very much. Thank you. So like I say, friends, you know, it's God's good pleasure. You know, it's sovereign pleasure and will. God has provided this salvation. He has no need to. You know, He could ship every... He would be justified, quite justified, you know, in shipping the whole human race, you know, off to hell. Without saying or doing nothing, you know, but He hasn't done that, you see. Out of His good pleasure and will, He has provided this salvation for men and women. Like you and I, so that people can be saved. But how? Well, by believing, you see. Through faith, you see, in what God has provided. God provides it, but you reject it. Well, it's not yours, you know. You go to the doctors, and the doctor, you know, he prescribes a medicine for you. He tells you you're sick, you know, terminally sick, you know, you're going to die. But if you take the medicine, you'll get well. But you walk out the doctor's surgery, and you leave the medicine sitting there. Whose fault is it if you die? Do you blame the medicine? Do you blame God? The doctor, sorry? Who do you blame? You blame yourself. You rejected the medicine. And so you see, God has provided this great salvation, you know, for men and women, lost, fallen creatures like you and I. But you reject the medicine. You don't take the Son of God, you know, who is born of a woman, born under the law, who is crucified, dead and buried, raised again from the dead. You don't receive, you don't accept the Son of God. You don't take the medicine, well, you won't get well. You won't get right with God. And of course, you're lost forever if you go out the world in that fashion. But God, you see, out of His good pleasure and holy will, has provided And the answer, of course, is logical. You don't need to answer it. You won't escape the judgment of God, that is, the wrath of God to come, unless, that is, you fly into the arms of Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Receive the promised salvation. Receive the provision of God that He has made for fallen, lost sinners like you and I. You see, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's a unique God. There's none like Him. Sovereign, free, creating at His pleasure and will, and providing salvation at His pleasure and will for His own glory. For the glory of God, He's done all this, you see. In His creation, you see, He created everything for His glory. But that's the basis, don't you get it? That's the basis of your accountability to Him. Because He made you, He gave you your being. And as a result of that alone, without anything else, that makes you accountable to God. He created you. He made you. He made you in His image. You're a man, a woman, made in the image of God. But here's the thing, friends. When you live in sin, when you live in rejection of God, when you reject the provision of God in salvation, you know, like when you live the lie, when you believe the lie of evolution, you know, the lie of the devil from the pit of hell, when you live the lie, you're reflecting the image, not of God, you're reflecting the image of Satan, who is a murderer, says Jesus, from the beginning. He's the father of lies, says Jesus. He's the one who gives birth to lies. And so when you live the lie, embrace the lie, well, you're reflecting not the image of God in which you are made, you're reflecting the image of the devil. Okay. You see, when you do that, what?
I do have a serious question, though.
Oh, do you?
Doesn't your book...
Is it intelligent? Is it intelligent? Okay,
go on.
Find a way.
Doesn't your book say that what you're doing right now shouldn't be done?
No, it says it should be done. It says it should be done. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that includes Leicester City Town Centre. Downtown Leicester. So like I say, friends, you know, it's... God made you, you know, and He made you in His image, and as a result of that alone, you are accountable to Him, and you will give account to Him. We're all of us naked and exposed before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account, God, this unique God, you see, who made you for His own glory, the fact that He made you, that's the ground, that's the basis of your accountability to Him. But when you live in unfaithfulness, when you do the adultery, when you do the fornication, when you do all that unholy stuff, you see, you reflect the image, not of God, because He's pure, He's clean, He's holy to the utmost. You reflect another image of uncleanness, of depravity. So you see, friends, God made you for His glory, and you're accountable to Him, like it or not, you are. And of course, He guides the world, the universe, everybody in it, all the nations, all the history of the world. It's all done, you see, the providence of God for His glory too. Everything that happens to you in this world, there's not a hair falls from your head. There's not a sparrow falls to the ground without divine permission. Everything, I tell you, everything, wars and famine, the whole lot, the good and the bad. You see, it's all comes from the hand of God. He sustains the world. He sustains the universe. He sustains you know? A unique God, an incompatible God. A God who is holy and just and righteous, but yet a God who is compassionate, a God who is kind and merciful, forgiving. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart, you see, of the good news of the gospel. That there is forgiveness with God. That you may be right with God. That you might glorify God. Huh? By falling down before Him and acknowledging your sin, confessing your sin. That you're a vile, deceitful-hearted sinner, worthy of nothing but damnation. But crying out to God that He would have mercy upon you, that He would glorify His salvation, and that He would save you from your sin. It's all, you see, all of it. Oh, no, it's not, sir. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. Don't be a drive-by heckler. Drive-by hecklers, you see, they make these statements in passing. A biological fact is evolution, he says. Eh? But he can't stop, you know, he can't stand and argue and debate this point. He's a drive-by heckler. Ah, dear friends, talk. Talk about the thing, but I tell you, it's all for the glory of God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The incomparable, the unique God, there is none like Him. And the God of the New Testament, you know, He's exactly the same. Some people say to me, well, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. He's a bit of an ogre. But I do quite like the God of the New Testament. People, they're exactly the same. God is the author of both the Old and the New Testament. There's no difference. And the God of the New Testament is utterly holy and righteous. And altogether judges the thoughts and intents of men's hearts. Even now He's judging you. And one day will bring you to justice. And I tell you, there's a whole bunch of people, a lot of people, you know, in that day of judgment, you know, they're not going to come out of it very well. Let me tell you about some of them, you know. Here's what God says, you know, about heaven, you know. He says, but as for the cowardly, those that haven't got the courage to be Christian, yeah? The cowardly, they are exempt from the kingdom of heaven. The faithless, those who will not believe what's evident, what's in their faces, you know? The detestable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That's the end. That's their end, friends. You see, He's the same God in the Old and the New Testament. And He's the God who saves too. He's a God who is gracious and merciful to those who have got the courage. They have got the courage.
What?
Hey, can you stop swearing? For the children. Oh, filthy language. Go and wash your mouth out. Go and wash it out with soap and water. Filthy language. For the children. Your own children as well. Shame on you. So I say, friends, you know, it's the same God, you know. He's gracious, merciful, and kind to those who believe, who receive His salvation. But to the unbelieving, to the cowardly, there's no salvation. But here's the thing, friends, how do you find this God? Well, it brings us back to the Bible. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, says the Bible. You see, he can't be found. He can't be found by carnal reason. You have to be born again, you see. God, the Holy you know, and it's beneath them, you know, to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God in order that they might be saved. That's sad, friends, that's sad. But I tell you this, nobody ever found God by himself. God has to reveal himself. But he does say, friends, that all that he has created leaves you without any excuse. No excuse whatsoever. Because of all the things that God has made, it's plain to you. Plain as the nose on your face that God is. So the call, you see, is to stop suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God that you have in you. Because God has made it plain to you. He's shown it to you. And he says that you even understand it. So stop suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near, while salvation is provided for you and proclaimed amongst you. You cannot know God, you see, unless you're reborn. Jesus says you must be born again because you got a sinful nature in which you were born. You see, you came from your mother's womb in sin. You were conceived in sin. You have a sinful nature from which comes sinful practice. It's inevitable. It's inevitable, friends. And so, you see, that nature must be changed. You must be born again. Not returning to your mother's womb and being born naturally a second time. Born from above, born from God, born of God's Spirit, you see. Your sin darkened mind enlightened. Raised from the deadness of your trespasses and sin and given life, eternal life. Living like you never lived before. God himself must command the light to shine into your heart and mind, giving to you the knowledge of himself in the face of Jesus Christ. Or you remain in darkness. You remain in death. You remain a sinner on the pathway to damnation. Unless God, in his sovereign pleasure and goodwill, commands the light to shine into your heart and mind. So you see, friends, God is independent. God is glorious. He's unique. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's the incomparable God, incomparable in grace, in love, in compassion and mercy. For he so loved the world that he gave his Son up to the death of the cross, that through him that you might be washed and made clean, that through his blood you might be washed of the stain of sin, that through his perfect righteousness that you might be credited, imputed that righteousness to you by the grace of God for his own glory. Oh, I tell you, he's gracious, he's loving, he's compassionate and merciful, but he's righteous and holy and pure. And I tell you, everybody and everything that's contrary to him is excluded from his kingdom. That's why Jesus commands in the New Testament. His first recorded words in the New Testament of the Bible. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way you can enter God's kingdom is in the way of repentance and faith. And so I call upon you, Lester, once again. Repent. Repent the words of King Jesus. For the glory of God and the glory of his salvation. Repent and believe the gospel, Leicester City. had, you'd like to have.